This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI Audio and AMI TV. The Guardian this week airs Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on AMI Audio and features readings and some of the best analysis and commentary from the pages of the Guardian newspaper. Producer Don Dickinson joins us now to tell you more about a few of this week's articles. Hey, good morning, Don.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I'm well. Nice to catch up with you once again. And Don, we're looking first at a story between the UK and the EU, and it's not necessarily Brexit, but it certainly involves some movement and travel in the region. Under a European Commission plan, the EU will reopen to holidayers from countries with low COVID-19 infection rates, such as the UK, and to anyone who's been fully vaccinated by the start of June. So, Don, what is the traffic light system that has been established here?
I thought this was quite innovative. What they've done is this traffic light system has been announced where countries will be added to either a green, amber, or red list with different rules regarding issues such as quarantine of returning travelers for each of the lists. Now, senior UK government sources said that the number of destinations to which the Brits can travel quarantine free from this is, of course, mid-May onwards, could be in the single figures, actually, despite pressure from conservative MPs to green light travel to the whole of Europe as vaccine rates improve. A significant number of these countries on the list will likely be major holiday destinations, but you never know. You know, it changes daily, Dave.
Oh, yeah, it certainly does. Don, you mentioned some of the pressure going on inside of the British Parliament right now. What is British Prime Minister Boris Johnson saying about opening up?
Well, Johnson basically says that obviously they do not want to see an influx of disease once international travel resumes, which is why the government is establishing this system, right? He said, quote, we do want to do some opening up, but I don't want that people in this country want to see an influx of disease again, the prime minister told reporters during a campaign visit. So he's obviously just trying to preface everything by being cautious.
Mm. Don, which countries are likely going to be getting the green light? Who are the lucky few here? Who's winning the lottery?
Yeah, exactly. Portugal, Malta, and Gibraltar are likely to be green-listed countries where testing will be required before travel, but not quarantine after returning. The popular destinations for Brits, like places like Spain and France, are expected to be on the amber list initially, where there's home quarantine still required. And then the red list countries, the alert countries, are likely to be such countries as Brazil, the United Arab Emirates, and South Africa. And they're going to require quarantine in government-mandated hotels.
Don, I know that it still feels like we are in the thick of it, and certainly we are in the thick of the third wave here in Canada, but how nice is it to at least be considering and contemplating the possibility of what travel restrictions are going to look like and what travel opening up is going to look like moving forward?
I know, it's just wonderful. I mean, we had to cancel our trip to Ireland because it was right at the cusp of the problems in March. And hopefully we can go again, next year.
Yeah, I know that I've already started maybe looking at November this year, saying, okay, can I pencil something in for November? Maybe not international, but certainly interprovincial, right? It's like something out going out to Vancouver or seeing some friends out there just had some babies. We're starting to reach that point where I think to myself, okay, there's a good possibility. I'm going to have my second shot by the end of September, and there's going to be a lot of other people in that boat as well, which means that by November, there might be a little bit more comfort, a little bit more movement, a little bit more safely, and it's something that I think we're all looking forward to. So, Don, when you bring me a story like this, it puts a big smile on my face.
And speaking of babies, Dave.
What? Oh, I see. All right. Okay. You're doing the segue for me. I love it. Okay.
I was
like, Don, do you have news about my life that I don't know? Because that would be shocking. All right, Don, here we go. So a woman who was only 29 weeks pregnant delivered a child on a flight between Salt Lake City and Honolulu. Lucky for her, a doctor and three neonatal intensive care unit nurses on board that plane sprang into action. So, Don, with no equipment on board, how did these professionals handle the birth?
Well, this is an amazing story. I had to include this because, of course, there is no special equipment. So the group got very creative. They used shoelaces to cut and tie the umbilical cord of the baby that was brought forth, and a smartphone to measure the baby's heart rate. Dr. Dale Glenn said, "We were all trying to work in a very, very confined space in the airplane, which is very challenging, but the team was great."
And how did the passengers react to the situation? I know it's one that I don't typically anticipate a childbirth occurring on a plane that I'm on.
Well, the passengers actually said that the situation initially caused a lot of commotion, but they were pretty casual about it by the end of the flight. One of the passengers recorded the clapping and the cheering as the flight crew called for the congratulations for the new mother and the baby. And one of them actually did a TikTok video by, her name was Julie Hansen, and it's been viewed, get this, 11 million times.
Wow. Yeah, that's the world we live in, Dawn. Emergency medical procedures on airplanes need to go on TikTok. That needs to happen as quickly as possible to keep the world in the know. Dawn, now you've talked about this before. You've traveled extensively in your life, both for work and your personal life. Did you ever encounter a situation like this or something similar in all those travels?
Well, you know, Dave, in 20 years of traveling for Southern News, I actually had two medical situations that were pretty intense. One of them was exactly this situation where a woman went into labor. We were coming across the Atlantic from Frankfurt, and she went into labor fairly close to the Canadian shores. So we actually stopped. The plane went down in Gander. I shouldn't say went down. That's bad terminology. The plane landed in Gander. And of course, you get the whole, you know, the ambulances and the fire and all the rest of it come to the plane. She was taken off. Everything we heard later from the pilot was fine and dandy. And she delivered her baby very shortly afterwards. The second one was really intense. I was on a plane, and a gentleman had put a very large, one of these salesman's traveling cases that had the metal edges on them, you know, he had put it above me, or I should say, sorry, above in the overhead one aisle in front of me. And it wasn't really his overhead. He had extra material. So he was using this overhead. And of course, when the plane took off, as they say, everything shifted, and they tell you not to open the overheads after the takeoff. But sure enough, he stood up. He was kind of sitting kitty corner to me and opened the overhead. And this huge case, which was a salesman's case, which are very, very heavy, came directly down and hit the man who was sitting in front of me, who was and very elderly man too, probably in his late 70s, early 80s. And it caused a huge gash, I mean, because of the metal corners, right?
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
So the man was, like, bleeding profusely. It was just really shocking. So Lufthansa gives you these wonderful little pillows, you know. So I immediately stood up and applied this pillow, which was very shortly sopping wet in blood because I was holding it so tightly to this man's head. And this is what was so amazing, Dave. Everybody's, you know, obviously sprang into action, and the stewards and whatnot, stewardesses are talking back and forth. And then the steward walked down the aisle with latex surgical gloves on and a needle and thread.
Oh my gosh.
And they stitched this man, because you're in the middle of the Atlantic, you know?
Yeah.
They stitched this man's skull, this man's head. And as I say, he was very old, very frail. So it was, you know, he didn't have much hair to begin with, which actually was fortunate in this instance because they could see what they were doing, right? And they stitched him up right then. And then they put a compression bandage on him and, gave him some medication. And he he took it really well. I'd have been furious. But
I think after you get knocked in the head and you're bleeding profusely, sometimes your rage, it's hard to muster the rage. You're just hoping to be stitched up. That's wild, Don. The most dramatic story I've had is someone throwing up on a plane next to me before takeoff, and that led to a big delay because they said, "Well, we're not going to let you fly on the plane now." To the guy who threw up, but that is a lot different than somebody bleeding profusely. And Don, good for you for springing into action. I'm the kind of person who freezes in those moments. I don't have those savior instincts.
No, it didn't bother me in the least. I've never been queasy. It just doesn't bother me. So I was glad I could help at the time, but it was one of those things where when you land the plane and get off, you think, gee, did that really happen? You know, it was just it was scary stuff.
Well, Don Dickinson, paramedic and producer of The Guardian this week. Hey, Don, always fun catching up with you. Thank you so much for previewing these stories, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, Dave, take care.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.